Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and this is so great. Thanks so much for listening. You're gonna enjoy this. I mean, around America today, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, there are going to be people screaming at their radios and their headphones listening to this, because we're going to get right to it. The third and final debate of the 2016 presidential race is set for tonight. And what can you possibly need to hear to make up your mind, you're saying, between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and the other candidates, or even staying home if that's an option for you? Well, they are all options for our three voters from three decisive states with three distinct experiences of being undecided. You're going to say, where did they find these people? Hey, we're just that good. And we spent a good bit of time today talking to them and hearing how their positions have evolved. And you're going to hear some very tasty excerpts. So here we go. Please welcome.
Hi, my name is Gabby. I am a 22-year-old millennial living outside of Philadelphia in Bensalem, Pennsylvania, and I'm currently an undecided voter.
I am Cheryl, and I'm 61. I live in Marco Island, Florida, and I'm just hoping that tonight we have some strong feelings on a direction to go.
I'm John. I'm 33, which is a borderline millennial. It's kind of pushing the boundary a little bit, but it's still, I guess, technically a millennial. I'm from Northeast Ohio, and I've been an undecided voter for pretty much this entire election cycle. I have voted. My first year that I was eligible to vote was 2004. I've been in line early morning to vote for every single Democratic candidate since then, and if I don't go vote that morning, I'll be thinking about it the entire day and wishing that I felt compelled to.
All right. What do you need to hear in the debate, John?
For Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party to admit that maybe they've lost their way in the past 35 years and take accountability for their own actions. I'm obviously no GOP supporter, but trying to frame them as the only reason that the middle class has suffered for the past 35 years is entirely false and very, very misleading. It builds up this us versus them mentality that makes it even harder to get anything substantial done in this country.
A mea culpa from Hillary Clinton is what you're looking for, John. Gabby?
I actually wrote down a little checklist of things that I really wanted the two candidates to talk about. First is I want to hear more about Social Security. I feel like the past two debates, it's barely been mentioned. I feel like it's a major issue that as millennials and also like Cheryl, we have baby boomers. It's something that we both have to really sit down as a country and really address. And I really want to hear more about that. I also want to hear more about race relations in the United States. As an African-American female, also I'm biracial. So I have weird situation. Half of my family is Caucasian, half is African-American. So for me, what I want to hear is how to really meld the country together race-wise, because the last debate, the second debate, I absolutely detested Donald Trump's answer, which was, hey, we need to increase stop and frisk. And I felt like since he was giving such a lack of policy, Hillary Clinton didn't have to try. So I had one candidate not really discussing the issue with any empathy or sympathy and effort. And I have another candidate saying, oh, well, to increase race relations and to strengthen African-American communities, we should implement and increase a use of a policy that's extremely controversial. I just was absolutely just distraught by both of their lack of answers. I also want concrete answers for fixing climate change. Also, hopefully get some more answers when it comes to our true reliance on energy, because I was looking up fact-checking sites and Hillary Clinton said we're actually energy independent, which is 100% false. We are not energy independent. I really want the candidates to touch on certain things like Islamophobia. I felt like both of their answers were not very informative at all. None of them are really concrete things to bring me into each candidate. So those are certain things I would like to be.
So Hillary concerns you on Islamophobia. How does Hillary concern you on Islamophobia?
she's such a tailor-made politician that I don't get a real sense of empathy or sympathy from her answers. One comment that I was, when I was watching some of the major news networks and listening to their pundits, the political pundits, was stating that Hillary Clinton has been working in government and trying to help the American people through her, you know, her work for two decades, how long, like 30 years, Donald Trump quotes. So she should have concrete answers and concrete examples of interacting with Muslim individuals and Muslim Americans. And her answer sounds so tailor-made. There was no sympathy or empathy or actual real life context to it.
All right, Cheryl, what do you need to hear from the debate?
Okay, well, first I want to touch on the fact that Jonathan is considering not voting. And last night at dinner, my son, who's 32, shared the same feeling that he and his wife were not even going to vote. And I personally had I have a problem with that. And I have some time. And I'm not going to tell them to vote or how to vote. But because they have a one-year-old, I'm going to tell them there's one strong reason they have to vote and let them go with that. And it's because they just have to do it for their son. And our country needs a lot of changes, and no one will disagree with that. And I will vote, but right now as I sit here, I do not know which way I'm going. And I'm hoping tonight that I feel confident, and I'm still wanting Trump to grow up and impress me, because I feel he has the right tools.
All right. Isn't it interesting that for all three of you, you're very sophisticated on content and issues. You all have very issue. You're very strong on issues and what you believe in and what you think about whether you're leaning towards Bernie Sanders or leaning towards the conservative sort of Reagan agenda, Cheryl, John, and Gabrielle. But it's a quality of the individual candidate that has to come out. Donald, grow up. Hillary, show me some empathy. Hillary, show me that you're not tailor-made and sort of just pandering. These are the things that have to come out in the debate. It's personal and emotional that's really on the line tonight. Would you three agree?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I couldn't agree more with Hillary Clinton. To me, always sounds like a talking points algorithm instead of a real person. It's never spontaneous. It's never, and I pretty much disagree with everything Donald Trump says, but what he says doesn't sound that way. It sounds like it's actually a person talking. It doesn't sound like it was just someone reading from a script. And having just a moment of humbleness and a moment of spontaneity would go a long way with me with Hillary Clinton.
I also agree with John. When it comes to listening to a lot of what Donald Trump says, I can completely agree that even though it might not be what I agree with policy-wise or opinion-wise, just hearing his responses, when something is said and he immediately reacts with maybe, you know, something upsets him, or you can see his emotion. In such a time span where we've had some of the worst economic problems in our country since the Great Depression, these couple of years, these two Obama presidencies, it brings a lot of emotion out of people. And to see a presidential candidate show, hey, when I hear something that makes me upset, I experience these emotions just like you, the American people, experience these emotions. And that's why I think that Donald Trump appeals to so many people, because you can physically see his reactions, physically see his excitement about galvanizing his support basis and, you know, getting the voters out there. And I feel like with Clinton, that's what I'm lacking from her, is that we have an extremely animated nominee to the right, and then we have such a, you know, lack of animation to the left, where she's so used to giving these tailor-made responses and tailor-made speeches that she's been prepping for days on. It just seems like there's no emotion when so many American voters are so emotional. We need somebody from both sides that can give emotion and vilify what we've been feeling. And I feel like Hillary Clinton doesn't do that. And that's what I personally really need from a presidential candidate, is someone who understands how I feel.
The sound of three undecided voters from three in-play states in the United States. This is the takeaway. All right, the E factor for emotion, Cheryl. What's the emotional factor you need from Trump that's gonna move you back into his column?
He needs to lighten up and not make it all about him. He takes everything so personal. He needs to be one of us. He needs to be on our side and let his ego go. And Hillary is so stiff, and she looks like a robot. She just doesn't have any love in her. She's loveless.
What's the greater likelihood, do you think, tonight? Hillary Clinton showing authenticity or Donald Trump putting his ego aside and acting like one of us, as Cheryl so perfectly put it? Gabrielle?
I think that Donald Trump is going to try to be a little bit more laid back, a little bit more presidential. If he can do that, he can possibly, you know, really sway voters like Cheryl, you know, some Republicans or independents on the fence and some Democrats that might vote for the Republican.
All right, John?
The emails coming out are too damaging to, at least for me, to expect her to fully confront them publicly.
But in terms of character, you think it's a higher... You think it's a lower percentage shot for Hillary Clinton to be authentic and spontaneous than it is for Donald Trump to put his ego aside?
At least for him to make the appearance that he is, I think it's more likely for him to try and take a humble approach to this debate than it is for her to fully confront these issues on TV. And that doesn't mean at all that I am going to be sympathetic towards Trump. I wouldn't even take the appearance of him appearing more humble is authentic either. I mean, I think both candidates have a huge problem with authenticity, no matter how they want to portray themselves.
All right. What's more likely, putting ego aside or showing authenticity by the first woman candidate to be president? Cheryl?
First, for the first time, we all agree. I'm going to go with Trump. I don't know if it's possible for Hillary to, I don't think she's capable of changing her demeanor, the way she comes across. My feeling is Trump could pull this off.
That makes for a decisive and very high stakes debate tonight from our three undecided voters here. Cheryl from the swing state of Florida, Jonathan from the in-play state of Ohio, and Gabrielle from also the in-play state of Pennsylvania. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Undecided, and it feels so lonely.
Undecided, I could vote if only there was one perfect fit. But I just can't pick, 'cause I'm so misguided. I'm undecided. Hey, hey.
They're not the Ohio players, they're the takeaway players. We will check in with Gabrielle, John, and Cheryl immediately after the debate as part of our live call-in coverage, Debate Rewind. That's tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a live call-in show hosted by Todd Zwillick. Are you still undecided? Gary, Indiana. I'm leaning Hillary, but I'd like to hear her talk more about getting corporate money out of politics. Are you still undecided? There's still time to call us at 877-8MYTAKE or head to Facebook. We're at The Takeaway.